Today is Friday, September the 1st, 2017. My name is Adam. Hello, everyone. Welcome. This may sound a little bit different to everyone. Thank you for bearing with me because I'm trying a setup for a possible, I don't know, mobile studio, we'll say. And I am using a Zoom H4n, and I'm recording with the Zoom H4n, and I'm actually on my microphone. So, you know, it may sound, the monitoring, it sounds kind of weird. So I don't know if it's going to sound weird in the actual recording. I'm not really sure if it's not liking my microphone that I'm using, but it sounds kind of weird to me. So if it sounds weird, my apologies. I'm just attempting to do a mobile setup that I can take with me when I go on trips, and I can actually record a show for you guys, but not sound completely horrible. And so we will see if that works or not. But anyway, it's been about a little over a week since I recorded, and I just got really busy at work. What has happened at work is that I have had a lot of stuff going on. I know I keep saying this, work is just busy, but I have this tendency. So what I will do is, and this is good. See, I'm a very corporate-y person, right? I'm a people pleaser, but I'm also a very corporate sort of individual. I think being a people pleaser kind of helps you to be, I don't know, to be a better corporate, what do you call them? A corporate, I'm a corporate shill or whatever they call, I don't know what they call it. But anyway, I think that possibly helps you out because I want to please everyone. So I want to say yes to everything. But I also, you know, what am I trying to say? So I have a tendency to want to get involved because I want to have what they refer to as visibility. So basically, and these are very corporate-y words, right? But when you talk to someone and you say, okay, hey, I want to get up to the next level. I want to get promoted. I want to, what is it going to take me to get to the next level is something that you're always going to hear. And what it takes, a lot of times what you'll hear is, well, you need to broaden your influence, right? So, you know, as you go higher up the food chain in a corporation, your influence is supposed to be broadened as well. So you're not thinking, oh, I'm only affecting my one little project. Or, you know, I'm only affecting these two projects, or I'm only affecting these three projects. You know, as you get promoted, you go up that chain, and you want to get broader and broader and broader until you're affecting, you know, you're affecting a few people, and then you're affecting more, and then if you're a manager, you know, you're managing more and more and more people as you go up the food chain. And so, you know, that's one of those corporate things. But in broadening, basically you want more people to know that you exist. So it's like you want to get out there. You want to market yourself. You want to be visible, you know, that corporate term. And I'm really good at that. But the problem is usually those broadening activities, you're doing them when you're at a lower level than maybe the level of broadening that you're doing, we'll say. And so they're not, you know, things that you're doing are not always directly associated with your job. So you can't necessarily charge time for them, or you might have a project that, you know, is going to take the entire amount of time for you to do this project. But you want to do this extra thing, you know, that's going to get you seen by a bunch of people, and it's going to affect more people, and it's going to make you look good. So that's not the only reason why I do things. I also am a control freak, and I don't like decisions to be made without me being involved. I like to be involved in all of the, you know, all of the decision making, everything that goes on at work. And so those are the two reasons, you know, three reasons, I guess. I'm a people pleaser. I'm good at and always constantly thinking about making myself more visible and broadening my influence, my sphere of influence. And I also want to have control. So I don't want to come in, you know, one week and they go, oh, these things have been decided, Adam, and this is what you're going to have to do. I want to at least have a say in whatever it is that, you know, that has been decided. Even if I don't have the power to make the decision, I want to whisper little things in the director's ears and say, hey, I think you should do X, Y, Z. So because of all of those three things, this opportunity arose. So this training opportunity, there were these people that were putting on a workshop, and they needed someone with my skill set to help teach this workshop. And I knew that I had a lot of other stuff going on, but I said yes, because this is a workshop that's helping to set the direction that the entire organization is going to go. And I wanted to make sure that I was in on, you know, deciding what things were going to be taught and how we were going to train everyone and et cetera. So, and the other thing was, you know, I'm being a people pleaser. I don't want to say no. And then the third thing, again, you know, I'm trying to broaden my influence. So, you know, the people that are taking this course are going to then see me as a knowledgeable person in my area. And maybe there will be people who didn't know me before that will know me now. And so I said yes, but because of that, I had all of this work that I had to do. So not only did I have to come up with slides and with training material and, you know, with actual code examples of what we were teaching. But, you know, I also have to meet with everyone on, you know, every couple of days to go over what they're working on and sync up and go through the slides and make sure everyone agrees and we're prepping. And this is a 4-week deal. I was only teaching in one of the weeks, but I was also attending the other ones. And so we were having all these meetings, and this same group is doing something else in October, and then they want me to put together a specific one in my area that's going to be another 4-week deal. So, I mean, it was just a lot of stuff, right? A lot of stuff going on. And so, but, you know, I volunteer, or, you know, they asked me and I said yes, and it will benefit me. It will benefit me. I mean, the people that attended the class will now know my name if they didn't know me before. And, you know, that can always help because you have more visibility, you're influencing more people, you know. Also, oh, and great, I'm recording and now someone's mowing outside the window. Not only is the recording probably going to sound weird because I'm recording on this external recorder, also, you're going to hear the lawnmower. So anyway, so I volunteered for that. Well, so because of all of that, this week was my class that I was teaching. It was, today's Friday, the class was yesterday, so the class has already happened, but it was really crunch time. I was really having to spend a lot of extra hours creating the material and refining everything and making sure that all my talking points were correct and everything. And I get a text message. So I'm actually in a run-through meeting with the other trainers that are teaching this workshop. And I get a text message in the middle of that meeting saying, hey, Adam, it's Steve, and Steve is my stepfather. And he says, hey, I just wanted to know or remind you that you need to bring your passport on this when you come up to Seattle for our trip to Canada. And I'm not sure if I said this on the last recording or if I said this, if I said this on any Geeky Gay episodes, but my parents and I, so I always go up to Seattle every year to see my grandparents, and I have a couple of uncles up there and aunts, and I'm going, actually, Mark and I are going to Orlando, leaving tomorrow. We're coming back from Orlando on Monday, and we're going to get back really late Monday evening, and then Tuesday, I'm leaving to go to Seattle, and I'll get there late in the evening on Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning, my parents and I are taking a ferry from Seattle or the Seattle area to Victoria, Canada. And it's been, I used to be this world traveler, but and Mark always makes fun of me, but when I even talk about it, but I used to go to, I lived in London and Brighton and England. You know, I went on a choir trip to Germany and Austria at one point. When I was living in England, I traveled to France and I traveled to Cyprus. I used to go to Canada with my parents occasionally because my stepfather's family is in Washington State, which is really close to Canada. And then I've been to Mexico several times. And Mark always makes fun of me when he's like, oh, here Adam goes again. I've been to London. I've been to France. He always makes fun of me. But anyway, I have. But all of that was like in a past life, almost. I mean, not that I'm going to stop traveling, but all of that was junior high, high school, and then college years. And then after I got out of college, I was poor. Well, I was supporting my ex, basically. But I was poor for the 8 years that I was in Dallas. Basically, my eyes were bigger than my stomach, if that makes any sense. So I bought a house that I couldn't afford. I, you know, had a car I couldn't afford. I, you know, all of these things that I couldn't afford. And so we were always trying to make ends meet. And there's no way we could have gone to Europe or even Canada on, you know, our idea of a luxurious vacation was driving the 2.5-3 hours to San Antonio from Dallas and staying in some hotel on the Riverwalk. Which, hey, that's not a bad vacation, but, you know, it's not very exotic. So, you know, there was that 8 year span, and then I moved to Arkansas, and my, you know, my budget or my finances really, really got better once I moved back to Arkansas. And now I'm in a fantastic place, but Mark, because of his immigration status, you know, I know I announced that now he is a green card holder. So that makes it a little bit easier for him. Although, because he's from a third world country, he still has to get a visa if he wants to go anywhere basically outside of the Philippines. So even though he has a passport and now he has a green card, he still, if he wants to go to Europe, for instance, England or anywhere else, he has to get a visa from that country saying it's okay for him to enter, which Americans don't generally have to do that. And so, you know, while I've been with him, and I've been with him, I met him maybe a year. I met him, I want to say, I met him when I first moved here. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, I've been with him for most of the time that I've been in Arkansas. And so, you know, and we love to travel, but we couldn't do Europe. We couldn't do, you know, any of those countries. We couldn't do other countries. We always had to limit it to the United States. So I get this text and I'm like, Steve, my passport expired years ago because I haven't been out of the country since like 04 or 05. I don't remember what, I think the last time I went out of the country was Canada, actually. And it was when I was in the Turtle Creek Corral. And, you know, and so anyway, I then went into frantic, how do I get a passport mode? Because my parents have already paid for the hotel that we're staying in. They've already paid for the ferry, you know, from Seattle to Victoria. They've planned it all out. It was going to be my birthday present. And here I don't have a passport. So I found all these websites that say they'll do 24 hours. Well, but it was already late in the day on Wednesday. I have to go to the post office, get photos made, fill out all the documentation, find my birth certificate, which is God knows where. And I'm just running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to find all this documentation. Well, for those services, it's 24 hours from the time that they receive your documentation. So I would have to overnight the documentation to them on Thursday. They wouldn't get it until Friday. Monday is a holiday. So they basically wouldn't even start processing it until Tuesday because, you know, overnight means by 8 p.m. or something on the next day. So they would get it probably after the time that they were closed on Friday. And they wouldn't work it until Tuesday. And then by the time they mail it, it would be too late. So I looked around. I was like, okay, maybe we have a passport place that I could use that's near me. And so there was a passport office in Hot Springs, which is about 3 hours and 45 minutes south of me, of where I live now. It's also in Arkansas. And I And so I decided, okay, I'm going to drive down there and I'm going to go ahead and get my visa there. So I had everything, but they couldn't guarantee me. They said, we do same day, but we can't guarantee same day. If there are any problems with your documentation, if we need to do any additional research, if we run out of printer ink, I don't know, whatever. Anything could happen, and they couldn't guarantee me that they were going to be able to do anything or to get it to me on the same day. But I had to take the chance because it was pretty much the only way I was going to get into Canada next week. So last night, I came home, we worked out, we ate dinner. I packed one suitcase, not even a suitcase. I packed a shirt, you know, some socks, underwear, and my toiletries. And I went and I got in the car and I drove the 4 hours to Hot Springs. And so then this morning, you know, I got up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the office and have my appointment. So I got there early. I had to, you know, talk to security, go through that whole process. And then I think I was the first one there because I was there before they opened. And my appointment was the first, you know, my appointment was the first appointment that they had of the day. So I went in there and I was able to get in, and my appointment was finished. All of my paperwork was good except for a couple of extra things I needed to fill out. I had already filled out the entire forms at home, printed them out. I had my photos that were, oh my God. For driver's license and passport photos, it's like they want you to be ugly. Seriously, they're like, we want everyone in the United States to look ugly. You cannot look good on your, you know, on your passport or driver's license. And so it is the ugliest photo ever that I have ever taken in my life. But I had it all together. I went down there and, you know, gave them all the stuff, went through my interview. Everything for the most part was pretty cool. And she's like, okay, sir, you know, here's your receipt. I had to pay for it, of course. And she's like, so we're going to, because of your travel dates. And the other thing I didn't mention, if you're going to get a passport, you have to, and then you need, if you need rush, especially same day, they want proof of travel dates, proving that you don't have time to wait for them to mail it. So I did all that. And so she said, okay, we will try to get this done. If there's no problems with, you know, when they start working on it in the back, go find something to do in Hot Springs and we'll call you when it's done, but usually they're done by 2:30. This was 9:30, so I had 5 hours to kill. So me loving bathhouses, saunas, the sauna spa at the Vegas resorts, etc., I was like, oh, Hot Springs is a national park, and it's a national park because of these hot springs. Literally, I mean, they're hot springs. The water comes down from the mountains. It's hot, and they have made a thing out of this where they've built these baths, and you can, you know, and I've never done that before. So I thought, okay, I'll try one of those. So I go to this bath, and you go in, and it's like a spa at Vegas or something, but you go in and of course they give you a locker, you take off your clothes and everything. And then you go in and this guy, and they say, wrap the towel around you. And this guy escorts you to this big room with all these big, huge porcelain clawfoot bathtubs. Like, I mean, they're only big enough for one person. You each get your own and they're dividing walls between them. But they escort you in. He tells you to get naked. You get in this bathtub. He fills up the bathtub for you. This guy is, you know, is talking to me. He's like, hey, you can call me. I don't know why I can't remember his name. But he's like, you can call me Bob. You know, and I'm just going to say Bob because I can't remember what his name was. He said that over and over during the course of the hour and a half that I was there or whatever. And So he fills up my tub. And I'm going to end the story there. And in the next episode, I'll finish up that story. So for more information, I always say that, but there's not more information. But for more episodes, you can go over to geekygay.com. You can contact me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com for email. You can call 229-234-7587. And I do have some backup of voicemails, so if you voicemailed me, I will get it played, I promise. You can find my other podcast at dubiousintent.com. And you can find many more GLBT and GLBT-friendly podcasts over at pride48.com. All right, guys, so I'm going to try to record another one and have these out within a couple of days of each other. And so until the next one, I will see you next time. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.